Father, we thank you right now, God, for your spirit. Thank you for the anointing. I ask you for the anointing. I ask you for utterance, that it be given, that I may minister unto your people, that they may find you in everything that's said on today. Think through my mind, speak through my mouth, that your people will be edified, you be glorified after hearing the word of truth. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Father, therefore, I decrease, I step back, that you may step forward. You be heard, you be seen, you do what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, clap your hands. You know, it makes a difference on how you hear the word of God. I think 2 Thessalonians 2:13 talks about it. When they receive the word, they receive the word as if it was coming from God and not from a man. And based off how you view what you're hearing, that's going to determine what you get in this life. That's what you're going to receive when you come to church, based off what you believe you're hearing. And this is why, Brother Brandon, so many people question what they hear, because they don't believe that God is talking to them. We're going to jump into this, and we're going to see what God got to say about this. Today, we actually going to be still, we still dealing with iniquities. What part are we on? Anybody know? What part is this? A couple behind. You slept through two services. Where we at with this? Yeah, part five. It's all on the website. And it's all free. Say no cost means no excuse. Say no cost means no excuse. There's no reason for us not to be under it. And let me say this before, because I'm gonna dive in, and I'm gonna go really, really hard today. And I'll try to explain. I'm gonna step back from some things, because I think I kind of went too fast over the last few weeks. But a lot of time people become so dismissive because they've heard the gospel preached from one angle. They've heard it preached from one angle. And justification, sanctification, holiness, righteousness, we the righteousness of God, we the blessed people of God, all of that is true. Leave it right there, Dylan. It's fine. But all of that is true. But it don't make this wrong. It doesn't make this wrong. And a lot of times, you know, bubblegum Christians take this kind of stuff like real hard, because they like bubblegum. You know what I mean when I say bubblegum? I mean people like, they got sweet tooths. That's all they want out the Bible. That's all they want. They don't want no direction. They don't want no instructions. They just want you to keep promising. And every word in the Bible has already been established by God. And he don't change it for people. And what the culture and the climate, especially like in the Western culture, that's America, but definitely like in the Western culture, don't take no offense to it. We have become so soft because we have been geared many times from birth for convenience and comfort. That's all we want. We don't want nothing else. And the reality of it is that what, say, Pastor ain't picking on nobody, but that's why you have so many diseases now, like in our country, because we are so comfortable and sedentary. We just eat what we want that's pleasing. We won't eat nothing that's right for us. We only want to eat what's pleasing to us, and because of it, obesity is on the rise, and all type of natural diseases are on the rise, because people won't eat right, and we love comfort too much. It is the exact same mindset in the church. We only want comfort, and the Bible is full of other stuff that can help us. Do you believe that? So you don't have to throw away all the stuff that you have been taught, you know, because I know people be running back to their pastors talking about, Pastor, I thought you said. Pastor, I thought you said. I'm using scriptures, though. I'm using scriptures. Because the pastor ain't talking about what God say. God don't care what your pastor saying. Say, stay in the book. And rightfully divided. Meaning that, because I'm going to pull a couple of scriptures out, and I'm gonna not challenge them, but I'm gonna deal with them. But if you stay in the book, we don't have all these unnecessary problems. And the more you need, like what we think is standpoint of encouragement, and you do need that. We do need our exhortation. We do need to be comforted. Because we go through things in this life and they're hard. And you need somebody to extend some compassion and some grace and some empathy towards you. You do need that. But say you need this too. In Isaiah 1, it says that Isaiah, the son of Amaz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. And they says, hear, O heaven. So this is like a court session. That's part of where I'm building up to in the future, is that there is what you would classify as the courts of heaven. Daniel talks about it. Revelation talks about it. It's many places in the Bible, but really, it don't never really get taught. But there is what you would call the courts of heaven. So when I was ministering on the last few weeks from Matthew 14:30, where Jesus was talking about, you know, Satan coming for me, but he has no place in me, can't kill me because I don't know any sin. I got to give up the ghosts. The reason why Satan couldn't do anything to Jesus, because legally he had no case against him. But if he got a case against you, the courts of heaven must hear it. Preach, Holy Ghost. The courts of heaven must listen to what's being said. And I don't want to go too far in that, because it's just so intense that you have to be able to follow me along. But legally, the enemy has to have a right to attack people. I'm not talking about warfare. Warfare, you have been given the power to bind and loose what you will. See, you do that. How do you do it? In Jesus' name. So when it's warfare, you ain't necessarily really got to call on God. You just need to do what you do, because he's giving you authority over the enemy to use his name. And you can use his name in faith when we have a legal right to use that name. So you can't bind him. You can't cast him out your house and out your life if he has a legal right to attack you. Say, heaven must hear this case. These ain't, look at me up here acting like I'm some attorney. Heaven must hear this case. He can't throw it out. Right? So he says, hear, O heaven, give ear, O earth, for the Lord. I'll deal with all that in a future weeks. If you come back, you'll get some of it. For the Lord has spoken, I have nourished and brought up children. This is him talking, and they have rebelled against me. They have rebelled against me. Man, it ain't nothing that'll hurt a mama worse as your kids get older and then they disrespect you. You done clean poop. You done fed them. You done did more for them even as they got to the adolescence and adult life than they've ever done for themselves. And yet they have the veracity to attack you or go call themselves going to go off on you. I got one amen. Let's go. He says they don't rebuild against me. The ox knows his owner, the ass his master's crib, but Israel, my people, don't know. My people don't even consider. And you look around now and people don't even consider the gospel no more. They don't. Well, I'll explain why seats are empty in churches. Because people don't even consider. They don't have, they're inconsiderate of God. And anytime you're inconsiderate of God, you watch this and you believe this, you're going to be also inconsiderate towards your own personal best interest. Because ain't no way you're going to ever fulfill what God wants you to have in this earth without him. And when you're inconsiderate to God, God not just going to give it to you. This is a misconception that's being taught to people that it's just going to happen anyway. Because what God got for me, it is for me. Just because it's for you don't mean you ever going to get it. It doesn't mean that you ever going to live it, Brother Brandon. That ain't got nothing to do with it. And this is what's fooling people. They thinking that I'm just going to buy my time. I'm just going to buy time, escape through, and it's still going to happen. Tell somebody, say, not so. Mm-hmm. He says, all sinful nation. Old people laden. That word laden means overloaded. Yeah. Overloaded with what? Overloaded with what? Overloaded with what? Sound like right now. I mean, people are doing whatever they big enough and bad enough to do. Big enough and bad enough to do. And, you know, it ain't nothing like being around people and all being around friends and family and all of y'all got devilish minds. Is this right or wrong? It ain't nothing like being in a group and we all got devilish minds. We ain't gonna do nothing but propagate the devil. And sometimes if we want deliverance, all we gotta do is change people, places, and things. Come out from amongst them and be ye separate, says the Lord, and you'll find some things starting to happen in a positive manner in your life. Is this too much for y'all? Because y'all looking at me funny. Just because you're looking confused, that's gonna cost you 5 more minutes. He says, O sinful nation of people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. Corruptors. I'm not even going to deal with it. Because, man, if like you can have a car, like in Europe, they throw salt down on the roads. You know what I'm talking about? And so every annually, Sister Brooks, what you have to do, you have to take your car to on post or wherever the mechanics are at, and they inspect your car. But they get up, no, people have been over there and know what I'm talking about, but they have these tools, these metal tools, and they be poking up under the bottom of your car, right? And you be talking about, they up under there tearing up my car. If ain't no corruption or no corrosion up under there, that tool don't go through. The tool only penetrates the vehicle if it looks perfect on the outside, but on the backside, it's corroded. Underneath is corroded, and then before you know it, you got this extensive bill that you got to pay. But he's talking about a lot of times he say children are the corruptors. They look good. People can look good. They can look innocent. I'm not saying children. I'm talking about we all children. So I ain't talking about small kids. I'm talking about people who we the children of God. But sometimes there'll be corruption and corrupt things in us that we got to get out of us. He said it'll forsook the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They done gone backwards. Man, you bold when you really provoking God to anger is to do what? It's to provoke God to do something. You're not going to do nothing. You're not going to do nothing. God not going to do nothing. God loved me. God not going to do nothing. Obviously, they did enough to make him angry. They did enough to provoke him to this point. And, you know, one of the things that God had told me earlier this year, last year, is that start provoking people to live holy. It's going to solve almost all their problems. Problems are attached, mother. They're attached to past, present. I don't know about future. I guess it could be future if you think about doing something, if you premeditated about doing something. But a lot of it is linked to that. I ain't talking about warfare, because you can say, I can handle warfare. Warfare is coming from the outside in. Iniquity is trying to be released from the inside out. Warfare is coming from the outside in, brother. Iniquity is released from in us. It's things that we've allowed to be deposited in us that's affected our thinking so much that now it's embedded in you. And in many cases, this is why teaching ministries are so powerful, is because a lot of stuff can be taught out of you. If it's just doubt, you can shout it out. But if it's in you, you got to have it taught out. If it's doubt and unbelief, you can shout that out. People can run, they can shout, they can do all that. You can get all that out. But if it's in you, if it's built in you, say, teach it out, Pastor, teach it out, teach it out. I'm teaching it out. You're going to experience some of the most, you're going to experience more people who get this. Not everybody. Because some of you, I can't tell you what to do. And neither can God. And I'm going to deal with that. Some people not, they can hear me. Some people not going to be told what to do. Why won't they do it? Let's look at the Bible. Let's see what the Bible says. He says, why should you be stricken anymore? God says, man, I done put some stuff on you, allowed some stuff on you. I ain't put it on you, but I allowed some stuff on you. He says, ye will revolt more and more. You ever seen kids or you be trying to correct them and they just keep going? Okay, y'all wouldn't like that. Nobody in here was like that. Because I was like this. I'll take a good whooping if I want to do something. I'm the only one. I already know I'm going to get a whooping. I'm good with it. I'm going to take the whooping. But how many know you don't want to do that with God? Because he can do something to go way beyond your body and your soul. See, he says the whole head is sick. Listen to me. I can stand up here and preach on you all I want to, but some stuff flows from the head down. A lot of people are attacking the congregations, but a lot of stuff is flowing from them down to the body. And, you know, like, you can see my teeth on the front, but you don't know what's happening in the back. And a lot of infection and disease gets in people through the mouth. And if my mouth has infection in it and I'm spewing it towards you, it ain't no wonder why you getting affected, because you are part of the body too. And until we can go back and start looking at what's really happening in us and where this is coming from, even in the family, we can talk about our children all you want to, but they your children, they your seed, they getting some of that stuff because they was born out of your girds, your linen, they came out your womb, it's mixed with your... Does somebody say you might be looking at you? Yes, sir. That's a good place to get a Lord of praise right there. You might be looking at you. So watch this. He's chastising them and he's trying to restrain them, Sister Lisa. Do you remember the prophet Eli lost his vision? He lost his prophetic ministry. And he lost his, both of his sons are killed on the same day. He lost his ministry to Samuel because he would not restrain the iniquity in his house that his boys was bringing in. And he would not restrain those boys because he knew that they had stuff on him probably, so he felt guilty about correcting them of their junk, and he had junk his own stuff that he wouldn't deal with. And it cost him his ministry, prophetic eyes. It cost him both of his sons being killed on the same day. It cost him his daughter-in-law being killed on the same, dying on the same day. She wasn't killed, dying on the same day. Are you following it? And it was all because he was acting like stuff wasn't happening, and God was clearly pointing it out to him long enough that he would not deal with the stuff that he should be dealing with. So God had to allow the enemy to deal with him. And so God is telling us today, if we got stuff that he's pointing out to us, say all of us, we need to deal with it so the enemy don't deal with us. Everybody got something. You is crazy. I mean, you ain't crazy, but something is wrong with you if you don't think you got nothing to fix in the earth. That would make you a perfect man or woman. That would qualify you instantly, according to the Bible, to be translated like Enoch was, to be translated like Jesus was, to be translated like Elisha was. These are men just like you and I, who knew no sin. They was perfect and mature. They knew no death. They didn't have to die a death. So the fact that you here and you still in the land of living, tell somebody, look at them too, say, you got something. Say, I knew it too. I knew. Say, I knew it. Yeah. Are there times in his life where words ain't enough? Sometimes you need to, God had to chastise. Sometimes words ain't enough. My mama used to talk a lot, you know. My daddy didn't talk. He French braided them switches. Them green ones. Tell y'all know about it. People say that's child abuse. Ain't no child abuse. See, I can't remember having an argument or a shout down with my dad as a teenager or a grown man. Because he whooped me. We wasn't fighting. He was whooping me. Some things move beyond words, sis, where God has to whoop us to get our attention. It ain't no fight, because he can end it anytime he want to. But he's whooping us because he is trying to chastise us to keep us around, because he know there's potential in you and you need to grow and be developed. And sometimes the whooping is a part of that process. Now, what we fail to do is that, I don't know why I'm going this way, but what we want to do is that we think it's cute as people are growing through the ranks. And then when they become almost a man or a man, just because you're 15, they done got their full body. They ain't growing no more. They got mustaches and beards. They got more muscles than you. You ain't finna whoop them. Now you about to be in a fight. Because you wouldn't chastise him when you could. And because he chastised me as I grew as a man, we had no fights. Say, come on, Jesus. We had no fights. Because he's established respect and honor. Say, respect and honor is a must. So, heaven and earth must obey the laws that God has called us to be subjugated to. The beasts do it. The birds do it. Man is the only one that fails at this duty. We're the only ones that go astray from this. Nothing else that God creates fights against God but humanity. Humanity is the only one that fights or has the veracity to know that there's a living God, but yet they want to fight. Tell your neighbor, say, your arm's too short to box with God. And that's why people are going astray. That's why people are not living it out. And part of it is, and I'm going to deal with this if the Lord say the same, is because I think we've misunderstood grace. We've misunderstood grace to some extent. So we look at this, the cause of all The chaos in the earth is what? It's sin. The cause of evil is sin. Rebellious people, disobedient people, is the cause of it. Romans 8 talks about the stuff that's happening to the earth, and the earth as being in travail. But the earth ain't doing nothing. Preach, Holy Ghost. I love this atmosphere. The earth ain't doing nothing. What is this saying? Humanity's sin in a region can affect the earth that they living on. It's people who living on the East Coast and the West Coast, because people love to be in packs, because for whatever reason, we think that a lot of people on that road, that God must be on that road. So people are moving to these cities, and they are creating modern day Sodom and Gomorrah and other places. And won't nobody say nothing, because now it's all up in the churches. You got homosexual bishops and apostles and whatever, they cardinals and everybody else. And they telling everybody that it's okay. You're supposed to be the trusted figure in the area. And so you're telling them that it's okay. And it's just perpetuating. So now everybody gravitating out there. And how many know those areas are going to be judged? Because territory is affected by people who give unclean spirits the right to rule in an area. I mean, know that God is getting ready to send forth some real angels, though. Some people with some real anointings to help folks in them areas out of those conditions. Say, if you want to get out, get out. Colorado Springs is a good place. Don't be in no rush to leave. I ain't got time to fool with it. And so there would never be death. There would never be no curse. All this chaos, all this destruction, all this, it ain't the mysterious will of God either. So craziness happened in the area, brother. And the first thing people start doing is saying, God, why you do this? God? I thought it was life. I thought it was a devil who came, to kill, steal, and destroy. God did that? Even when people died in God, in the Old Testament, in the scriptures, they didn't die most of the time, no horrific deaths. It said they laid down and they slept with the elders. They laid down, they slept with the elders. They laid down, they slept with the elders, meaning that their spirit left their bodies, they was with the Lord, but they didn't die. When you see somebody head get chopped off or decapitated in a car or get burned up in some building, you see some child who gets shot in a drive-by, say, that's not God. This is the mysterious will of God. We don't always understand why God do what he do. See, that's your problem. You giving credit to God for what the stuff that the devil is doing, and the devil is running rush out in the earth, because won't nobody challenge him. It's your job to bind and loose, and you won't do it. People's houses be messed up because they won't do nothing. Their families be messed up because they won't do nothing. Their marriages be messed up because they won't do. Tell somebody, say, it's time to do something. Roll your sleeves up, get your spiritual dukes, and say, it's time to do something. Don't be no spiritual wimp. Always whining, always complaining, always murmuring about what's not right in your life, but yet you're doing nothing. You're doing nothing to stop it or give God permission to come in and at least help you. Say, help me, oh Lord. The results of sin are not the will of God. The results of sin, anything that you see that deals with killing, stealing, and destroying, it ain't the will of God. Say, it's not the will of God. Sin is the reason. And what the enemy is doing, Prophet Zavin, is he's tricking people like that so they'll blame God. He's tricking people, and the mess going on in their life, they blaming God for it. No, they need to turn to God. He wants them to turn from God. That's why he wants people to blame God. And people run around blaming churches and blaming other folk. But it ain't really churches. It ain't no church. It ain't no church people. It's their own personal sins that they problem. It's people's own stuff that's created. Because... Say it's our stuff. And he's trying to get people to turn against God. Or at the very least, Sister Farrah, question God. Question him. It's fine to ask God a question. How are we going to get an answer? It's another thing to question him. You know, like some people I hate preaching to because it's like preaching to a jury. They question everything. It's like I'm preaching to a group of attorneys and they just litigating what I'm saying, trying to find some hole, they're not trying to write no notes to go back and enhance it. They trying to find a loophole, make sure he says something wrong. Nobody want to minister to no jury. And so when you're looking at it, he said to tell somebody, if you stray from him in this hour, that's going to be the biggest mistake you can make. Say, God ain't my problem. Say, church ain't my problem. Say, God has never been my problem. Say, God is the answer. Say, God ain't my problem. Church ain't my problem. Other people ain't my problem. Say, God is my answer. God is the answer. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. God, say, God is my answer. Why are you looking all over the place? Why are you trying to find some loophole? Why are you questioning everything that God says? Why are you questioning everything that I says? So you can look for some loophole you can't receive because you don't think you're hearing from God when you come in here. Why come? Find some place where you can hear. Find some preacher you can believe in. Leave me alone. Leave us alone. Say, we happy. Yeah. We happy. We getting fed. Some of us are getting fed. Some of us can tell you when God got dropped off in their life and how God started blessing them. When God started healing, they ain't doing the same things that they was doing before. Some of them ain't broke no more. People ain't sick as dogs no more. They ain't getting no divorce no more. Say, leave us alone. We happy. That's what God looks like. Not this killing, not this stealing. Say, sin is the problem. So many people, they run around blaming God. But he said to tell you that he is answer, that you don't have no chance without him. You don't have a chance for no turnaround. You're going to wind up divorced. Say, God is the answer. There is no emotional healing for you. You've been tormented. You were violated. You was raped. You was molested. There ain't no emotional healing for you. Say, God is my answer. There is no physical healing for you. It is available for you, but you won't get it because you blaming God and you can't talk out of both sides of your mouth and think God gonna bless you. Do you want to be blessed or you want to live up under the curse? Say, God is my answer. No matter what you find yourself at this morning, tell somebody, say, don't give up on God. You ain't got nothing to go back to. Like I know over the last couple of weeks, there's some people who missing on purpose because they offended. With who? With me? No, I'm in the Bible. Who they offended with? But disobedience won't let you see the difference. Who they offended with? Me? Say, God is the answer. He says, watch this. We have to be, go to 18. Just skip down. I ain't got time. Say, God is my answer. You know, people be running around all up in people's faces, all up in their houses. Disrupting their homes, bringing their problems up in there, and they ain't never even sought God. Say, God is your answer. Shaquita ain't got no answers for you. Shaquita, like your husband, say God is your answer. So while you running to talk to her, she checking out your man. See, he checking out your wife because they want you to let him go. Say God is your answer. Why you always talking bad about your kids? They prophesying life over their kids. Say, God is my. Somebody ought to give the Lord a praise right there. Say, God is your answer. Hallelujah. Isaiah 1:18, he says, come now, let us reason together. Do you know some people are so unreasonable? This is one of the main reasons why people wind up in divorce. They are so unreasonable. Meaning that if it don't go their way, right or wrong, they not having it. They're going to wreck the family. They're going to wreck the relationship. If I can't have my way, ain't nobody going to have that way. If I can't be happy, ain't nobody going to be happy. You the devil. You being used by the devil. You being used by the devil. You are devilish in nature. And that's why Jesus says, I know you ain't mine. He said, because you act just like your daddy. Jesus told some people, he says, your daddy is the devil. Stop acting like you know me. You too devilish to be my brother. They can't be they way. If they can't have they way, they're going to wreck it. Mama ain't happy. Ain't nobody happy. Mama is devilish and she need to get delivered. Daddy is, because that's, them cliches don't work with God. Preach Holy Ghost. That stuff don't fly with God. Sometimes people don't even know who they married to and they be mistreating them. And then they wonder why God be dealing with them. And God won't let them get nothing, get ahead, nothing happen for them. Won't get healed, nothing happen for them. Because they don't realize the spouse may not view you as God's anointed. And because they don't view you as God's anointed, they don't mind touching you with their hands or their words. And he says, don't touch my anointed. It don't matter if they're your husband or wife or not. Watch how you treating them. I say, watch how you treating them. Watch how you talking to them. A lot of people I watched over the years, I don't take no pleasure when God getting people, even if they did something against me. But I know for a fact that a lot of it happened because they didn't view me as who I told them I was. Right. You think you somebody? I know I'm somebody in God. They didn't view me like I told them that I was. So they thought they was going to handle me, but God had to handle them. God getting ready to handle some of your enemies because they are so unreasonable. They won't listen. You can't persuade them. You can't show them. You can't say, God, do what you do best. Yeah. Am I preaching okay? He says, come let us reason together, said the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, underline that, they're going to be whiter than snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be made like wool. How many know that God is telling them, he's telling them two sides of it. He's basically kind of showing them and telling them, brother, that he's willing to pardon and forgive sins. No matter what you've done, God will pardon it. The only unpardonable sin is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Everything else in this life, we can come to God no matter what it is. I mean, I don't care how atrocious it is to humanity. God still has a grace of forgiveness for that. And God is willing to pardon any sin as long as we get it up under his blood, which means that you got to be willing to confess it and you got to be willing to repent of it. And we got to be willing to turn from it because it ain't really repentance if you don't turn from it. If you're going to keep the numbers in your phone, stop repenting about fornicating because you kept the numbers, meaning that you never turned from it. Stop talking about, I'm repenting, I'm not going to get high, I'm not going to get drunk, I'm not going to lust after that person no more. You ain't willing to move your desk or go a different way, so stop. You never turned from it. You was just talking about it. And how many know that God knows the intents of our heart? He knows when we mean what we say. He knows when to release us from the consequences of what we say. Say, God knows what you really mean. Now, people might be confused, but God know. He said, though they be like scarlet. Scarlet is an analogy that he used. Scarlet and crimson deals with blood, covered with blood. Hands covered with blood. Hands, watch this. Hands covered with extreme iniquity and perversion. Hands covered with blood. Hands covered extreme, say extreme, iniquities and perversions. And we living in these times right here today. I believe in prosperity. I do. And I like it. I don't love it, but I like it. But we living in the wealthiest country in the world. And the poorest person in America is pretty much rich in what we classify as some other countries. And it's this mindset that people get bent towards, only wanting to hear again what's pleasing to their ears. What they can get from the gospel, not what the gospel can do in them. Because we perfect, right? Not with, because I don't need no help on me. I just need God to fix my surroundings. I need him to fix giving me a fourth car. You got three cars already. What you need a fourth car for? You only got 2 feet, two hands, I guess. You got two hands. And so how many know that God is willing to forgive us of anything? But watch this. Forgiveness is not unconditional. What does it take? What does it take? It takes repentance. It's not unconditional. I'm going somewhere with this because I got to tell somebody today that you're not going to use that, because what's happening in many, many churches and in the hearts of many people, they believe that grace is they believe that it's just, it is available, but they walking in it and they not walking in it yet because it's not unconditional. Meaning that I got to confess something. I got to repent of something. Mercy is available every day. Mercy is available every day. Mercy stops death from killing us because the wages of sin is mercy stopped that. So when we doing stuff, say not us, Pastor, when people are doing stuff and they're not immediately feeling the consequences, what they're experiencing, Brother Shaw, is God's mercy, not his grace. Because mercy is buying us time. Mercy is helping God watch over the word that he's prophesied over your life. Mercy is stopping death from jumping on us, because the wages of sin is death. Mercy is trying to get us to a place to where we're spiritually mature and we got enough sense to make sense with God and to say, you know what, God, all them times where I was drunk and driving, you showed me mercy. All those times where I was high and then I could have overdosed, you showed me mercy. When I was beating on my wife or cheating on my wife like a low-down dirty dog and she didn't leave me, mercy was keeping us together. And now I'm so glad you did 30 years later, because I don't have to pay for it now because I done repented from that mess. But they're confusing mercy and grace. They're confusing it. And God has bought some of us some time. We ought to be grateful for that. God has kept us in some relationships where that woman should have left you a long time ago because you wasn't doing right. Mercy kept us together. And now you discover, lo and behold, Shazam, we got a ministry in us. Who would have ever thought God would have chose us to be some pastors over some people? Say, God is a good God. So, does it make a difference whether or not we are willing and obedient? Because he's talking about, if you're willing and obedient, what's supposed to happen? What's supposed to happen? You'll eat the good of the land. You will eat the good of the land. So, many folks are saying this. It don't really make no difference. That's what they say, Brother Brandon. It don't make no difference. Jesus done paid for all of our sins. This is true. This is true. They'll say past, present, and future sins, he done paid for it all. How many done heard that? How many heard that preached? That is true. I'm not saying that that's not true. It is true. But they say everything is covered under grace. Go to Ephesians 2. See, just because something preached well don't mean it's accurate truth. You don't get to live any kind of way. And I said this before, it's like having an app. Look at me. It's like having an app open on your iPhone. And people wonder why the thing is running down or it won't charge or things are happening to it. It's running hot, all these problems with the phone. And lo and behold, you take it to the people at Verizon or whoever you get your cell phone carrier is, and all they do is take your phone and say, you got too much stuff running in the background. And they close off the stuff that's running in the background. A lot of us, the problems that we are experiencing in our lives is because we got too much stuff open that we ain't repented of, and we got it running in the background of our lives. And God is saying, all you got to do is just close the app. All you got to do is just repent. Come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden and burdened down, and I'm going to give you some rest for your soul. All we got to do is close the app. And God is still taking his spiritual finger today, because some of you repenting right in your seat right now, and he's closing the app. And them demons that have been sent to torment you, you're going to see them no more. God is making a way for you to go forward in him and to be strong in every area of your life. Tell somebody, say, God is closing apps in your life. God is, whatever's running in your background, God is closing it off today. Whatever's been running you down and running you down quickly, God is closing it out today. God is trying to put us in a place to where we are strong in him and in the power of his might, and he is closing the junk that the devil has been running in the background telling you, you ain't changed, that you're not going to do no good, that you're no good. Say, God is closing that out, baby. Any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are... Say, God, close the apps. I'm not going to let the devil run me down. So let's look at this. They're not accurate, though. Ephesians 2, verse number 8, please. I'm going to read to 9. He says, for by grace you are saved, what? And not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Go to verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Go back to number 8. We are saved by? Through what? So we're not trying to be justified by being obedient alone. We are saved because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's what we're saved from. But when you look at this thing, we got to be careful, because when you look at that verse, you have to be careful, because if you think that you're going to live some good life and you're stubborn and hard-headed and disobedient and rebellious and backbiting and murmuring and complaining all the time, those are symptoms that you're on the wrong road, that you're not in the will of God, because you can't be in the will of God and be like that. And so people think they're going to live some good life when they got all this stuff going on. Say, you fooling yourself. Say, nobody win at the sin game. Ain't nobody ever won at it, and ain't nobody going to win at it, and you're not going to win at it. Say, you're not going to win at the sin game. So for us to think we're going to enjoy some the full blessings of God because of the grace of God and you fighting with God, say that's not true. You're not finna have no great life. And this is why, you know, I try to tell people, even people who are in other ministries, I wouldn't be so quick to shut this off or preach against this. And I'm showing you and I'm telling you and I'm explaining it to you with scriptures. I want to be quick to do that. I've seen so many people, Sister Keena, that they are faith-believing people. And for a while, it seemed to subdue problems and stuff, gave them overcoming ability. And then they got to a place where they hit a plateau. They was dominating certain areas of their life. And then it's like prayer wasn't working. I've seen preachers do many people get saved, sir. And then they get to a point in their life and it's like, man, this ain't really working right now. Why ain't it working? They are believers. It would be negligent on my part or our part to think that they didn't have strong faith. You would be really missing it to think that they didn't have faith in God. But you are saved by grace through faith, not grace alone. I say not grace alone. And a lot of people are trying to be delivered by grace, but they have no faith in the Father. They're trying to work something, and they not even come to God, and they telling people it's all up under God's grace. It is under grace. When you bring it under grace, he take it all. He done paid for it all. But you got to get it to a place to where it's out of your face. Say, get it out of your face. You do that by bringing it to him. So you have access, grace with faith. We're saved by grace through faith. Say, not alone, though. Not grace alone. And that's why people are stuck. Because they won't consider none of this stuff that I'm trying to teach you and trying to tell you that there's no grace coming if you don't come to Jesus. People say, that's not true. Okay, let's look at it like this. Jesus died for the whole wide world. Is the whole wide world saved? He gave his only begotten son. If I believe that everybody was saved or is saved, then that's inclusion. So no matter how a person lives, everybody going to heaven. There's a lot of stuff we better consider about how the devil is getting in, and he getting in legally in people's lives. Because we know what God wants, but we won't do it. Why won't they do it? We know what people sit up here and look at me, you know, all funny all the time, and the whole time, it ain't like I can't read your mail. I just know that you're going to do what you want to do. What am I supposed to do? If you're not going to listen to God, you're not going to listen to me. So I don't trip. If a person not going to listen to God, they're not going to listen to no man. But you can't ever say that you're listening to God and you won't listen to a man. People say, I listen to God, but I'm not going to listen to a man. You got a rebellious and disobedient spirit on you. I obey God, but I'm not going to obey no man. I'm getting to you. I'm going to find you today. I ain't got much time. So if I can't finish my thought, I ain't going to go all the way there. But I'm going to find you. Because you in the Bible. Say, Jesus is my answer. Watch this. This is the point. When you believe God, you obey God. If you don't believe God, you won't obey God. You can say what you want to say. When you believe God, you obey God. You know, the biggest problem with some of you younger people is God tell you to come out from amongst unsaved people and you won't do it because you just as disobedient as them. You just like them. It's something about them that you know you can't get away with around us. So you like hanging out with them. Because they, and that's what he says in Hebrews 4. He says, the word came to all of us, but it didn't work for them, even though it worked for us. Right. Ask your neighbor, say, which one of you, us or them? Say, it's working for us. So while you laughing at us, it's working for us. We counseling you, but it's working for us. And you have to come out from the side of being a them. We want you to be with us, but it's working for us. Why won't it work for you? Because you won't be obedient to nobody but your own self, and you're being governed by the enemy. Do you know that the Prince of Persia was an actual person? It's a person, a real human. But when God is talking about it in Ezekiel, he's describing Satan. He's talking to Lucifer, rather, but he is talking to an actual man. And this actual man, the Bible says that he was wiser than Daniel. Ooh, preach Holy Ghost. He was wiser than Daniel because this man had given himself over to Lucifer, and Lucifer, the spirit, was controlling this man, and he was giving him supernatural wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And people were submitting to this man, but this man was under the control of the devil. Say, the devil. And so many times, this man who was controlling a region was doing it under the power of Satan. And so when God started talking to the man, he actually goes on to say he knows that he's talking to Lucifer. You behind all of this stuff, all of destruction in your life, Lucifer, the devil, Satan, however you want to call him, he behind all the stuff in your life, all the destruction that's happening in your life, he is behind it all. The miscarriages, he was behind it all. The divorces, he was behind it all. The sickness, he's behind it all. Why won't we obey God and come off and under this junk? Say, Jesus is my answer. He your answer. He your solution. He says, come, let us reason together. Let me go back there. He said, although your sins be scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Red like crimson, they're going to be like wool. He says, if you're willing and obedient, you're going to eat the fruit of the land if you refuse. If you refuse. Do you know why I don't do a whole bunch of marriage counseling no more? I will do some. If people consistently come to church. Because if you don't want to hear God, I deal with spiritual things, not carnal things. You ain't going to waste my time with me talking to you. Your problem is, or people's problem be, is that they won't listen to God. They won't invest from a spiritual nature into their life, and then they think somebody going to fix it overnight, mother, and it ain't going to happen. If they would allow the word of God to infuse and get in their heart, say, come, let us reason together. It would automatically always fix a lot of people's problems, but they want you to deal with their carnal nature, and they have not decided that they want to let Adam go. Say, let Adam go. And that's what people's main problem is. They won't let the nature of Adam go, the first Adam. The second Adam deal with spiritual things. The first Adam dealt with carnal things or fleshly things, and they're not ready to let the first Adam go because the first Adam loved pleasure. The second Adam was built for sacrifice. They don't want to sacrifice and invest in themselves. They want somebody. So I'm not wasting my time. They got to put some time in spiritual first, not with me, with God, and God will help them out. You know what? My time is up. I've been going about. I keep going. You know, you ain't said nothing but a word to me. I ain't got nothing to do. Nothing to do. And I'm loaded. You know what I mean? I'm loaded. I got so much ammunition. I'm loaded. I'm ready to preach to somebody. But I want to tell you today before we get out of here, God is your answer. Consider Jesus. Let Jesus get in your mind, get in your heart, get in your head, change your life. Separate from the first Adam and attach yourself to the second Adam. And I guarantee you, you're going to start experiencing victories in your life. If you're going to live by the nature of the flesh, you're going to die by the nature of the flesh. If you live by the Spirit, you would experience the things of the Spirit. But many Christians are so doggone carnal, you can't even help them. They're not serious about no things of God. See, that's my time go. Come on, let's stand to our feet. I knew it was time. Come on, clap your hands. Come on, clap your hands. Come on, clap. We're going to get our answers. We're going to get our solutions. I started to cut it off this morning, but I didn't. I'm trying to be obedient to the Lord when it comes down to time. Because sometimes people ain't gonna listen no matter what you say. And so you talking, but they not even listening. But we'll pick back up there on next week. Are you coming back? You should come back. You should bring somebody with you. Because I'm telling you right now, almost all people's problems, and I'm gonna pick right back up in that spot, is linked to some form of rebellion and disobedience to God. And there's so much going on now that people are so confused. They confuse about life. Welcome, Justin, Marquise, they're my boys. They confused about life, but it's really attached to their personal disobediences. They won't listen to God. Hey, listen, I feel like praying for some people this morning. If you got something on your heart, maybe they ain't even got nothing to do with what I preach. We still just want to love up on you, and we want to pray for you real quick. We want to let you know that God is still for you. Say, God is for me. God is for me. God is for me. Say, God is my answer. I was thinking about the times in my personal life if I was doing this, things that was failing in my personal life, Sister Palmer. And it was really linked to the fact that I already knew what God wanted and I wasn't going to do it. I was going to do it my way. And how many know when you posture like that with God, he'll let you. How many know God never loses? People can lose, but God never loses. If you feel like you're in a lost condition or a lost state, hey, listen. I'm telling you, God said, though your sins be as scarlet, I mean, the blood of Jesus can make it white as snow. We may not have natural blood on our hands, but some of us got some iniquities, things that we have practiced. And we need to get some of that stuff dug up out of us. This is why understanding where we are in life, say for real. Because church jargon, brother, we know how to turn it on in the right atmospheres. And then we go home and we be about to lose our natural born mind. And I'm telling you, the devil is behind all that stuff. I've seen it. I've seen it in religious leaders. You would think that they was little Susie Homemaker, and you think they was Claire and Bill Huxtable. I had to bring it to the natural because y'all don't know the Cleavers. you would think they was Claire and Bill and preach, and yet they stuff be so messed up. How many know we don't have to live lies in this dispensation? We have the ability, we have the Holy Ghost to look back through the portals of time. Help us pinpoint. That's what the call into remembrance is all about. It ain't about you passing tests necessarily. I'm talking about high school tests, college tests, exam, whatever. That ain't really what it's for. It'll do that. But God bringing stuff back to our remembrance is really us, Him taking us back to stuff that we can repent of and close the app. Close the app. Close the app. Once it's closed, the devil can't use it against you no more. Hey, the altar's open. You can come if you want to come. If not, we're just going to do one good prayer. If you're not born again and you want to be born again, this is your day. Get born again. You keep coming to church while you ain't coming to God. And say this, coming to church, say it out your mouth. Say, coming to church is different than coming to God. It ain't the same. It's apples and oranges. It's two different things. Apples and oranges. Got nothing. One ain't got nothing to do with the other. And so God is trying to help us today. Hallelujah.